Praise God. I can say this. I'm glad Mississippi State won. Congratulations. Y'all won. I've learned that Mississippi State fans are a lot better gracious losers than they are winners. Amen. For the most part. But anyway, I'm trying to keep my joy today watching that game. I lost it last night, but the Bible says sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning, right? So I got my joy today, thank God, huh? Well, we're on our second message of our series, Extra. How many of y'all were able to use your cards? I pray that God used you this week to use those cards, to give those cards out, the extra cards where we do something, a little something extra for someone, to let them know that we care, to let them know that our church loves them, and to give them an invitation to come to our church. And we're going to give cards out. If you haven't used your cards yet, please use them. Do something a little extra for somebody. And if you have used them, please pick up a couple more as you go out today, all right? Let's pray before we get started. We're going to talk about a watchful eye today. Last week we talked about a willing heart. Let's ask God to bless the message. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit stirring us up. Lord, we just ask that the word that goes forth today will stick, will go deep into our hearts and bring fruit in our lives. Lord, anoint me to deliver the message. And Lord God, anoint us, Lord God, to be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about a watchful eye. You know, last week I made a statement, which is very true, that the eye and the heart, if you have a willing heart, you'll always have a seeing eye, right? If you have a right heart, it's going to affect how you see. And I want to read Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. How many of y'all have ever rode, especially in the Delta area of Mississippi, and rode the roads and just saw all the agriculture out there? But you know, we don't see that farmland like farmers see it. Their whole purpose, their whole being is given to that land and given to the harvest. You know, Jesus, I think when he told his disciples, he said, look, I want you to pray a prayer to ask God to send harvesters into the harvest field. In other words, I want you to pray to ask God to allow you to get it. To allow you to see, you know how we ride down the road and say, oh, look at that cotton. When a farmer sees that cotton, he's seeing something way beyond just a crop. It's his sustenance. It's his livelihood. And the way he sees it and the way he works it is so much different than just a mere observer, right? God desires us to see beyond just what we see. Here in the Bible where it says that Jesus went through the towns and synagogues, he taught, he proclaimed, he healed. Jesus was about the work of the Father. Then there was a very special scripture in verse 36 says, he saw the crowds. You know, Jesus never went anywhere where he wasn't seen. Well, you say, Pastor, I see everything. I see, yeah, you see enough to walk around without bumping into something. We normally see enough to where we walk around to avoid running into an obstacle. But Jesus saw with a purpose. Jesus saw through the lens of his mission. And we are called by God to be about the mission of God. And that word says when he saw the crowds, this is the Greek word for saw, means that he perceived. He discerned. He noticed. He evaluated, he inspected, and he examined. want you to think about that word to see. And he goes on, there's another aspect of the definition of Saul means to be skilled, to get knowledge, to have the ability to know and perceive. So when Jesus saw the crowds, the Bible says when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion because Jesus saw something that caused a reaction in him. You know, let me just give you an explanation or try to give you a story that'll help you to understand what it really means to see. Tanya and I dated for a little while before we got married. I didn't need long to date her. I liked what I saw. I feel like what I saw. But I can tell you this, when we were getting married, when she came down the aisle, I saw her in a whole different way. I mean, when I saw her, you know, this is how men think, ladies. Let me help you a little bit in getting married. I was thinking to myself, oh, my Lord, what am I getting into? Am I making the right decision? Did anybody else think like that? Well, I'm leaving. I'm sorry. Now, I put my heart out there. It's over. But when I saw Tanya, let me get back to my story. When I saw Tanya, everything that I doubted in my mind was gone because I knew that woman was to be my wife. You know, it's one thing like when my children were born to see the sonogram, you know, and to see and say, wow, you know, we're going to have a baby. And even my grandchild. But when they're born, you see them in a different way. There's something that moves. The Bible says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. Let me give you an understanding of what that word means. It means that when Jesus saw, he groaned in his spirit. He was moved in his spirit. He saw something. You see, there's something about when you look and you see and you get it. It begins to do something to you and something in you that makes you have a desire to do something about it. And he said, the Bible says that they were harassed, right? They were harassed. Let me see. Give me that scripture. Saw the crowds, they were harassed and helpless. How many of y'all have really been walking about your day and God give you his eyes to really, or you were talking to someone and something happened on the inside of you that moved you, you begin to feel what Jesus feels for people. You know, ministries that are started that are effective is when people take the burden of the Lord on themselves because they begin to sense something deep in them, like Jesus sensed when he saw the crowd that was helpless and harassed. How many of you know that's a great picture of our world today? And so, Pastor, what does that mean? That means we're here to be missional in our life. Everything that we do should be seen through the mission of Jesus Christ. But if we're not moved, if we don't see, we don't discern, if we don't know, if we don't understand, if we don't examine, if we're not moved, you see, there's got to be a connection between our discernment, the ability to see beyond what we see. Because everybody in our world today, we are a mask world. We put on a mask for church. We put on a mask for work. We've grown accustomed to acting in a role, but we never really show our hand. So God's going to give us the ability to see beyond that, to be able to be moved. Because when you're moved, Jesus said, when he says he was moved, he turned to his disciples and said, guys, we got to do something. We got to do something. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would thrust forth. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll thrust forth laborers into his harvest. In other words, pray to God that we'll catch it and then do something about it. God is looking for people. You see, you can't stop a man or a woman who's seen what God sees and then begins to act according to what he's seen. You know, those cards are good, but if you don't see, you're not going to have compassion. Isn't that something how Jesus was moved? When you see people, really see people, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your heart. And then it's going to cause you to want to do something about it. Those cards that we're giving out, it's not so we can build the church. Yeah, I want people to come to church, but it's so we can build the kingdom. It's so that we can change lives. There's a bigger picture that we've got to live by as believers, right? Jesus saw. Because Jesus was missional about the purpose that God had called him to, he saw everything and everyone through the lens of his purpose. Jesus saw everything and everyone through the lens of his purpose. John 8:14 says this. He's talking to people in the Pharisees. He said, if I testify on my behalf, my testimony is invalid, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you have no idea where I come from and where I'm going. You see, we've got to have an understanding of why we're here. Jesus said, I know who I am and I know where I'm going. Well, how did he know? The reason he knew is that because he saw up first. He saw up. He saw the Father. In John 5:19, he says, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. But whatever the Father does, the Son does. Jesus saw up. In other words, he was totally focused on his Father. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not focused on your Father, something else will grasp your attention. Something else will get your focus. There's a scripture, I didn't put it in here, but in the Gospels, in several of the Gospels, where Jesus says the light of the body is the eye. And if the eye be single, the whole body is full of light. That's a powerful verse, if the eye be single. Man, how many of us are really... Well, I call this being laser-focused on your purpose. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, are you laser-focused all the time? No, I'm not. So I've got to always look up. You know, I've heard pastors say this, that we're leaky vessels. We leak. So we've got to always continue to be filled. Listen, your devotional life is so important to your purpose. Your devotional life is so important. Your time in the Word, your time in the presence of God. Hey, girl, that's enough. Can't wait to spank her. Not true. But your devotional life, if you're not looking up, guess what? You'll never look out. Jesus even had to remind his disciples, You know why we're not focused about the light of the body is the eye, and if the eye be single. You know why we're not single? There's so many things vying for our attention. And we forget sometimes why we're here and what we're to do. We get caught up in things that aren't eternal, that have no eternal value. So I just want to encourage you, man, you got to look up, and as a result, when you look out, you're going to have a watchful eye that when you look out, you're going to see people differently. You understand something? That Jesus died for people. Jesus came to this earth for people. Everything he did was to reconnect people back to a relationship with the Father. And I'm just going to ask you today, what's your focus? What's your focus? You know, here's a good question. We say, Pastor, I got a lot of focuses in my life. Well, here's some good questions to kind of streamline your focus. Are you ready? Ask yourself this question. Is what I'm doing right now going to matter in 5 years? Is it going to make a difference? Man, sometimes we get, I coach my kids in football and baseball, and even at LSU last night, how people scream and over one night, and I screamed. I didn't cuss, thank God. But we get so impassioned and emboldened about things and forget our purpose. But I think we need to get a better perspective. If we're going to have the right perception, we got to have the right perspective of why God's brought us here and what we're to do. And so we get caught up in things that don't matter. You know, in 5 years, that loss to Mississippi State isn't going to matter anymore. I think. But Jesus said the Son of Man can only do what he sees from the Father. And then it says that Jesus was moved by what he saw. This is what it means. He was groaning, the Bible says, in his bowels. And that means in his innermost being. That the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and compassion and pity. He was moved. Let me ask you something. We're so desensitized in our world today where when we see even some horrible things, it doesn't move us. I think we need to ask God to help us. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Well, what do you pray? Send forth laborers in the field. Just pray that God, how do you do that? I really think we ought to talk about ask God to touch our sensory organs, our heart, our eyes, our ears. Jesus made a profound statement when he's talking about the Pharisees. He said, even though they have eyes to see, they do not see. He said, they do not perceive. But they have ears to hear, and they do not hear. You see, the sensory organs that God's given us are triggers to move us. God wants to use those to move us. The devil wants to use those to cause us to stumble. See, when God creates something for a good purpose, the devil always has something in mind to try to counterfeit and counteract what God does. What God wants to use is something healthy and wholesome and good. The devil wants to use to bring death and pollution into your life. So you got to ask God to move me, Lord God. Lord, help me to see what you see. Help me to sense what you sense. Help me to have a heart like you have a heart. Jesus was moved and he acted. Here's four keys to seeing what like Jesus saw. Are you ready? How many of y'all really want to see like Jesus see? And really want to move like Jesus moved? Instead of all the busyness and craziness of life, that we really are absorbing the heart of God in our life, where we really see. Can I just say this? I believe this is the Holy Spirit, that there's some relationships that you have right now that God wants you to really see. There's some people in your life that need you to begin to see, because God's waiting on an opportunity for you to minister to those people. And you know, you've got friends right now that have lives that are just messy. And they're just waiting on one word of truth, one word of compassion that can turn it all around. Here's four keys. Number one, the Bible says in verse 35, that in chapter 9, verse 35, that Jesus went through all the towns and villages. I think one of the first things that's going to happen for us to really see is that Jesus was out and about, but he wasn't out of it. In other words, we can be out and about and still be out of it. We can get so caught up in the routine of life that we don't see. Jesus was out. The key for us, listen, ministry is all around you every day, waiting on you, waiting on me to say something and do something. But you got to be out and about. You say, Pastor, all I do is work. Guess what? That's still out. I don't have time. Yes, you do have time. You've got to make it a priority. See, what you make a priority, you make time for. So Jesus was out and about, but he wasn't out of it. Jesus was always seeing because he was always seeing the Father, and he was always in touch with the public. Jesus is in touch. Jesus was in touch with those that were outside. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were like, he eats with publicans and sinners. Jesus said, it's the sick that needs a physician. I'm here for them. Your ministry is out and about. Wherever you go, in Walmart, in Kroger, in... I'm getting hungry thinking about Kroger right now. Wherever you go, that's your mission field. We're so closed-minded when it comes to ministry. We have limited what God wants to do because we have created a box for ministry. Well, here's the deal. This is my motto. Ministry is life, and life is ministry. That means wherever I go, whatever I do, I am a minister looking for someone to minister to. That's good, isn't it? So Jesus was out and about. He wasn't out of it. And he stayed connected to the Father because he saw the Father. He always was on the lookout for people. Number two, Jesus saw because he knew he had the solution and answer to people. Colossians 3 says this, be ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that's within you. Jesus saw because he had something to give to people. You realize that we have the answer to everyone's problem. We don't maybe not have the specific answer, but we have the solution. And his name is Jesus. Gave the example of how I really saw my wife and really saw my children when it just, there's things that happen in your life that can transform how you see. How many times do you see in the Word where Jesus was in a situation where he saw and was moved and then he did something about it? I don't think that you can see without being moved, and you can't be moved without seeing. Think about that. He saw. Well, you say, Pastor, how do you know when you really see? Something happens inside you. Something in here happens. Not here, here. But something that you see here causes something to happen. And then you get, here's what happens. You make a decision. I got to do something. I got to do something. What can I do? I've got to make it. I've got to do something. So Jesus was saw and he saw and he moved. Matthew 13, Jesus said, though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear or understand or perceive. You see, you can. I don't care how good of a good boy or girl, good Christian you are, but we can get so bogged down into doing the right thing that we never do one thing. We do the right thing for us. We're so caught up on us doing the right thing that we don't do anything right to help anyone else. Can I just, let me help you a little bit. Let me help myself a little bit that it's not about me anymore. It's not about you anymore. It's about God saved you to be a blessing to someone else. The resources that he's given you, the abilities that he's given you, the things that you have, God wants to use whatever he's blessed you with to become a blessing to someone else. I say this, and this is one of my, I've got several really missional statements that I say that help me. And this is one of them that helps me to really see. It's that I must believe and am convinced that everyone was created with a destiny from God, and I'm here to help them find it. I must believe and am convinced that everyone was created with a destiny from God, and I'm here to help them find it. Number three, the third thing to key to seeing, like Jesus saw, was that Jesus not only saw, he was moved. Love sees and love acts. Jesus was moved inside. And because he was moved, he got the guys together and said, "God, we got to do something about it. What can we do?" Well, I think that's, he really gave a model of what to do. He said, "Here's what we can do. Let's pray first. And then let's go do something." You see, prayer and action, seeing and prayer and action, ought to mesh together to make, for us to make a difference. Prayer and action go together. You know what I find a lot of times when I pray, most of the time, when I pray specifically, God wants to use me as my answer to the prayer. Jesus knew. You know why Jesus was setting up his disciples? He knew that they couldn't pray that prayer without receiving a burden for what they prayed. You can't pray for someone and you not feel different about that person. You can't pray for the heart of God for someone that God doesn't change your heart for those people. When he was moved to do something, when you really see it, it will result in a burden, which is a heaviness for you to find a solution. And then number four, pray that God will move you. Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, "Listen, I moved. Now it's time for you to move." He told his disciples, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might thrust forth laborers into the harvest field." In other words, ask God for you to get it. Where you see them, you're moved, and you act, and you become the solution. Can I just tell you right now, you are an answer to somebody's prayer. You are an answer to someone's need. But if you don't connect with the heart of God, we'll walk by needs without seeing. We'll see, but we won't perceive. We'll see, but we won't be affected. We'll see, but we won't be moved. Come on, you know what I think? I think that the Lord wants us to get it today. Jesus said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest." I really believe there's people out there that need to be in here, that God's ordained to be in here. I'm praying today. I'm praying this week. Can I just tell you what I'm praying for? I'm praying that God move me to move others, to help. That everywhere I go, whatever I do, that I believe everyone that I come in contact with has a destiny from God, and I'm here to help you find it. I'm just going to give you some little insight. We're working on a building right now. I'm letting you know that. I want to tell you everything that's going on, but I'm not allowed to right now because I don't want to jump the gun real quick. But I believe that when we get to our next place, God's going to double our church. And this is how he's going to double our church. He's going to do it one soul at a time, where we reach out and we love on people. And we see people the way Jesus sees people. And we're moved because of that. Amen. You know what the Lord told me before? He said, people are not a means to your end. And that's how the world operates. People use people so that they can benefit themselves. And people become a means to our end. But God says, people are not a means to your end. They are your purpose. Can we remember that today? Because we can get caught up in the world. We can get caught up in our businesses and sometimes how other people operate. That's how business a lot of times operate. They're going to use you as hard as they can to get what they can to accomplish what they want. Jesus said in Matthew 25, he said, the Gentiles lord over people, but not so with you. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Two greatest verbs in our life. If we're going to really see it and get it, we got to be willing to serve and give. Serve and giving are the greatest verbs of the kingdom. Amen. God saved us to be the solution. Matthew 5, Jesus said this, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's bow our heads. I don't want to leave this place without asking this question. I want to just ask you a question personally. If you were to leave this earth today, would you go to heaven? And if the Lord were to say, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? I'm going to tell you, nothing you say except Jesus is Lord of my life and I've made him Savior will allow you to get into heaven. I just want to ask you today, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you made a decision today to follow him? Is there anyone in here who say, Pastor, I want to make that decision today. I sense something moving in my heart. That's the Spirit of God. Anyone? Just raise your hand. Right now. Okay, the second part of the altar call is this. How many of you would say, Pastor, I really want to see like Jesus sees. I want to sense what Jesus senses when he sees people. I'm tired of not seeing. I'm tired of not sensing and perceiving and feeling what the Lord wants to do in the lives of others. I want to get it. I really want to get it. Would you raise your hand if that's you? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to get it today. Amen. 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 Hands all over the building. Good. 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 Amen. I see those hands. Come on, let's, if you're near, let's just join hands together and really agree. Do it a little different today. Just yield right now. I want us to yield our hearts to Jesus. And I'm going to pray. Father, right now we yield our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves to you. Lord, we offer our eyes, our ears, our heart to see what you see, to perceive what you perceive, to get it, to hear, to really hear, Father. Lord God, that we might be moved to act, to see a life change for your glory. Lord, I loose the Holy Spirit working on us, making us sensitive toward the needs and hurts of others, that we make a difference in our city, in our world, in our job, in our neighborhoods, in our homes. Lord, that we would represent the heart of God in everything that we do to everyone that we come in contact with. I loose it right now, and we agree. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you today as you go.